Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated, Brother Martin.
All right, take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. When he said switch it, I thought you men were going to come, hallelujah. So I'm really glad y'all didn't do that. Next time, okay. We'll see how that works, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to begin reading right there in verse 1. You know, when you decide to preach through, I'm preaching through some books in the Bible. Used to never do that. Now do it a good bit. And you say, why? Well, I just feel like it's what the Lord wants me to do, all right? So that's why I'm doing it. But sometimes when you decide to do that, you don't, you know, if you were to say, preacher, didn't you know that was there? Yeah, I did, but I wasn't thinking about it too much. And when you come, you get to certain passages, you go, well, I didn't think about this being in this book, but here it is. You say, so what do you do? We'll just skip that. If it's a difficult, no, we're not going to do that. We'll try to preach, all right? Just try to preach all the way through the book here, 1 Timothy. But notice, if you will, verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. We're going to leave off reading right there. I want to preach to you tonight on it's praying time. It's praying time. More is said about prayer than done about praying. We'll talk about praying, but we don't pray, all right? And John R. Rice is quoted as having said that all of our failures are prayer failures. I don't know, maybe so, all right? The truth is, though, oftentimes we fail to pray. But in writing here to Timothy, now I'll remind you, God used Paul to write to Timothy, and in writing to Timothy, this young preacher, he's writing, giving him help and advice and encouragement. It didn't take very long for Paul to get around to the subject of prayer and to say to him, Timothy, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Paul's saying you need to pray, all right? You need to pray, okay? It is important that we lift up our hearts and pray. And just about all the time is praying time. It's praying time. So let's just look at it for a little bit. Number one, I want you to see prayers to be a priority. Notice Paul said, first of all. It ought to be a priority. We're exhorted to say there. We're exhorted, if you will, to pray, and it's to be something that we put way up on the list of the priorities to take care of. We live in a day when there's a lot more promotion than there is prayer. Promotion, I suppose, has its place, but not above prayer. Prayer is to be offered first rather than later. First, it's the thing we ought to do first. We ought to begin it, all right? Prayer ought to be at the beginning. Not at the end. It shouldn't be in the middle. It ought to be at the beginning. We ought to pray. It's something that ought to become a priority with us, a constant thing that we do, you know, that we plan to do. We put it in that place and we plan to pray. I submit to you and I understand it is easy to neglect to pray. It is easy to neglect to pray. And too often we get in a situation where our prayer is an emergency measure. Man, I've got an emergency, I need to pray. But it ought not to be that way. The truth is, when the emergency time comes, it ought to be a simple thing for us to say, now, Lord, I'm just here again, but I got something else I need to ask you about, all right? Not, Lord, do you remember me? But that priority. But the truth is, hey, we do not pray accidentally. It's not something that accidentally just happens. I don't remember what it was. We were at the house, and my grandson said something. He was asking why this, why that, and I said it. My son said it to him. He said, it's just something that happens. And it is. It's just something, whatever, I don't even remember now what it was. There are some things, well, that just happens, you know. Nobody plans it. It just happens. It takes place. But prayer's not that way. Prayer doesn't take place accidentally. You see, because prayer's not a natural action. It's not a natural action. At times, we have to force ourselves to pray. We have to force ourselves to do that, which we ought to do, all right? We have to take time and make time to pray. Just take that time, make that time to pray, all right? That means if something else gets undone or remains undone, let it remain undone. If something else, you know, has to take a back seat, let it take a back seat. If you have to knock it down on the priority list, knock it down. Because prayer ought to be that priority. And we can't wait until you feel like it to pray. Well, I'm waiting until that feeling overwhelms me. Well, it's not going to overwhelm you, okay? Hey, prayer's to be a priority. First of all, he says, and I want you to know this, prayer is to be varied. Varied. We do not pray a memorized, rote prayer. It's not something that we write out. Not something. I've always rebelled against the thought of writing out a prayer. Now, I'll write out sermon notes because there's things God impresses on my mind. I say, I want to make sure, Lord, I believe you want me to say it. I make sure I say it, so I write it down in a note, but I don't want to pray like that. But we don't want prayer to become just a habit and the same thing all the time. When I was a little kid, I was taught to pray, and I don't remember. I say I was taught to pray. I guess I was, because I remember praying this way. I remember praying, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord. I've got the joke in mind, okay? And I can't get that out, so trying to get that, now lay me down to sleep. The sermon was long, the subject deep. If he should quit before I wake, you can get me up with a gentle shake. That's the one that's there, all right? But that's not what I was taught and grew up doing. When I was a kid, I grew up praying, now lay me down to sleep, and I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, that may sound okay, but you know what? If you've been saved for 40 years, you ought not to pray like that. That ought not to be your prayer. The truth of the matter is, you've been saved 2 years, 6 months. That ought not to be your prayer. And neither should our prayer be, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. You say, preacher, what's wrong with that? It's in the Bible. But that's a prayer. It's a model prayer, but it's not the prayer. God said, you pray this every time you pray. No. Notice what Paul said. He said supplications. Supplications. Supplications are prayers for a supply of something that you or somebody else needs. That's a supplication. Lord, I'm asking for this. I need this. Lord, it's not me, but I'm praying for my friend, or I'm praying for somebody I know. They need this. Lord, would you please supply this need for them? Or please supply this need for me. That's a supplication. That is a supplication. But notice, that's not all we're to pray. The Bible says prayers. You said, what's that? Well, it's simply a list of things asked for. Look back, if you will, in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, down in verse 9. Notice what the Bible has to say here. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Ask him. Hey, folks, that's prayer, all right? Prayer's asking. It is asking. It is asking a list of things that are asked for. There's not a problem in the world asking for things. Ask him that. Not anything wrong with that. Not anything at all wrong with us going and saying, Lord, would you let me have this? Would you give this to me? Could I have this? Could I have that? You know, now, obviously, there's some directions about prayer. There's some directions about said we have not because we ask not. And when we ask amiss that we may consume it on our own lust. Well, no, we're not to ask for that reason, just selfish praying, but nothing wrong asking for things, okay? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. The Bible says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's willing to give. He's willing to give. He's willing to give, as Luke says there, to his children. If we'll ask, he's willing to give things to us. Now, we ought not to ask just for a simple selfish reason. And I think most of it, you know, I'm going to just put this in. Most of us, the first thing you talk to a very carnal person about is, I'm going to pray for $1 million. But the truth of the matter is, most people in this world, $1 million would ruin them. They'd be ruined if they were a huge amount of money were dropped upon them. I know of folks that lived in anticipation of an inheritance. And living in anticipation of that inheritance, they did nothing because they were counting on that inheritance. Now, what were they going to do with that inheritance? Blow it. Blow it. Hey, most people, cannot handle it if God dumps, and God were to dump a great amount of money upon them. You say, well, I wish he had let me try. But you see, he knows you, and he knows me. And by the way, the fact that he doesn't give it to you doesn't necessarily mean you can't automatically say, well, I guess God just doesn't trust me. No, there's other reasons. But I think many cases, God knows, hey, you give them $10 million. And the reason I say that is there's numerous people in our country that have won huge lottery payouts. And in just a few short years, they were broke. Not only broke, but they had great debts because they couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle it. But I put it to you again, there's nothing wrong for us praying. It's right for us to ask God for things. So notice supplications, prayers, and then notice what it says, intercessions. Intercessions. Intercessions are prayers that are said on behalf of someone who is unable to get his prayer answered or who doesn't see the need of prayer. Intercessions, what you do when you pray for somebody else that's in need, and that somebody else either can't or won't pray. You intercede on their behalf. You intercede. We're to do that, okay? We're to do that. We're to pray for them. So, hey, prayer is a varied thing. It involves supplications. It involves praying, asking for that. It involves interceding, intercessory prayers for others. But notice that other thing it involves. See there in verse 1, giving of thanks. Giving of thanks. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Thanksgiving's coming up. I'm already putting the choir director on notice. We will be singing, I just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord. Hey, we ought to give thanks. We ought to give thanks. I don't think we ever ought to pray without thanking God. We ought to pray all the time. It ought to be a time of thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for what you've given. You said, man, I don't have much. Oh, come on. Come on. Hey, some of the people that are living in difficult conditions in this country are living better than the majority of people in the rest of the world. The majority of people in the rest of the world. And we've got a house. Hey, we've got a house that's warm. We've got a house that's air conditioned. You say, mine ain't. Aren't you got fans? All right. And there's some method there for you to help control the temperature in there. Don't ask me why it happened. I was getting out of my car this morning when I drove up on the parking lot, and I thought, it occurred to me, man, here we are, October, it's hot. We're running the air conditioner, and hear that. And I thought about that little spell we had earlier in the year that was back in last winter where everything froze up and, you know, all the everything went wrong and there's no electricity and everything. If the road had been clear, would you have come to church if you knew there was no heat? Say, preacher, you got to be kidding. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me say this to you. We've got missionaries serve the Lord in places that are really modern cities. For instance, Don Leaf down in Brazil. There's a place down in Brazil, modern city, but they don't put heat in those buildings. And when they gather in winter, it can be cold. Well, they just bundle up and come to church. They just bundle up and come. I'm just telling you, we got a lot to be thankful for. We ought to give thanks to Him. Hey, every time we make supplications, there ought to be thanksgiving. Every time there's prayers offered, there ought to be thanksgiving. Every time there's intercession, there ought to be thanksgiving. We ought to thank the Lord, okay? Prayer is a priority. Prayers are to be varied. But also, I want you to see this. Prayer is for all. Is for all, okay? Notice it says in verse, end of verse 1, be made for all men. All men. All men need prayer. All men need prayer. Everybody you see needs prayer. From the highest to the lowest, they need prayer. Whether in the gate or in the gutter, they need prayer. They need prayer. They need somebody to pray for them. Somebody to pray for them. We've got government officials. Look, I'm not very enthusiastic about numerous people at the head of our government today. But boy, do they ever need our prayer. We're to pray for them. We're to pray for them. We get aggravated at them. We gripe about them. Do we pray for them? Do we pray for them? Just simple thing. Notice what the Bible says. For kings, verse 2, and for all that are in authority. Especially, prayers are to be made for all men. Now, not just for kings, not just for folks that are in authority, but definitely those that are in authority and those that are in positions of power. Hey, they need some prayer. They need prayer. And oftentimes, boy, that's true because those that are in great power think they don't need anything and they don't need anybody. But they do. They do. Some seem to think they're God. They're not. They need our prayer. We need to make a habit of praying. But all men need prayer. All men need prayer. I've mentioned it to you up here. I've asked you to pray specifically for people in our church that have got physical needs or other needs. But you know what? We ought to pray for each other regularly. We ought to just pray for each other. No, not if there's, even though you say, well, I can't think of anything they need. Well, they just need you to pray for them. Lord, would you just put your hand of blessing on them? Lord, would you put your hand of protection on them? Pray for them. Pray for them. Hey, I'm going to just make this personal. Maybe if we'd have been praying the way we should for Mrs. Sadowski, she wouldn't have fell and broken that leg. You ever think about that? We're to pray for each other. Or maybe he wouldn't have tripped her. But anyway, we won't go there, okay? We just need to pray. We need to pray. All men need prayer, okay? But not only that, drop down to verse 8. Drop down to verse 8 here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. What men? All men. Or to pray? All men, all right? That men pray everywhere, okay? That men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Hey, not only do all men need prayer, all men need to pray. All of us need to pray. We're to pray everywhere. No place, hey, by the way, no place is off limits for praying. Isn't that wonderful? I don't care what the law says. They can't stop you from praying. They cannot do it. You say, well, when I get down on my knees and bow my head and start talking, they'll come up and hit me. Well, you don't have to pray on your knees. My Bible says watch and pray. So sometimes that means obviously you got both eyes open, okay? You can pray, and nobody, you cannot be forbidden. If there may be a sign that says you're forbidden to pray, when you see that, just chuckle. Yeah, you can't stop me from praying. You can't do it. We're to pray everywhere, all right? Now notice the Bible says lifting up holy hands. Holiness comes from being like our Lord. Being like Him. It means being clean. Now, you want the better results in prayer. The cleaner you are, the better results you're going to get. Hey, get your sin taken care of before you make your request. Good time there when you're praying. Before you ask, say, Lord, could you forgive me? Would you forgive me of this and this? And right here, and I failed you here. I was unkind over here. Lord, would you forgive me? Get that sin taken care of before you pray so you can lift up holy hands in prayer and you can come before the Lord clean and pray and talk to Him and ask Him. And the Bible says, without wrath and doubting, not praying in anger, especially seeking vengeance. Lord, would you take care of, wait a minute, without wrath. Wrath at that anger that comes on, man, we want vengeance on somebody. Somebody has aggravated you. I said you can pray for everybody, but don't just pray, Lord, kill him, okay? There's other ways to pray. You can come to God and say, Lord, forgive him. Our Savior, that's the way He prayed. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And we say, well, I want to be like Jesus. Well, then learn to forgive when you pray. Not in wrath. But notice the Bible said not in doubting either. Not in doubting. Don't come with the idea, well, Lord, I know you're not going to give me, but I'm going to ask. Don't ask like that. Don't come doubting. But we're to pray in faith. We're to pray believing. We're to pray trusting God to answer our prayer and meet our needs. Just take care of us. Man, I drove home this morning. Drove home and the porch had just packages laying all over it. I thought, what in the world? Gone out and went in and went through the front door and looked out there and there was groceries. Well, Lord, I didn't pray and didn't ask, but we can use them. Then I was brokenhearted. I found out my daughter-in-law had ordered those and it's all for the daycare. It wasn't a gift from God. So I was a little disappointed there, but hey, listen, we ought to pray. We ought to pray in faith, not doubting. Listen, when I asked the Lord to save my soul, I didn't doubt He could do it. I believed He could. I believed not only He could, but He would. And I'll tell you, when we pray, that's the way we're to pray. Lord, I'm asking you. Lord, I don't pray like these fake healers who act like they're commanding God to do something. No, I'm asking God to do something, but I believe He can. And I believe he will. If I didn't believe he would, I wouldn't pray. We can pray that way, okay? We're to pray in faith. All men need prayer. All men need to pray. We're to pray in faith when we do it. I want you to think of another thing. Prayer alters circumstances. Look back there in 1 Timothy, would you? He said in verse 1 that we're to pray, offer supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving your thanks made for all men and for kings, for all that are in authority, this circumstance might be altered, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Hey, we pray because we believe God can alter the circumstances. He can change the circumstances. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. He can change the heart of anybody in authority. We ought to pray that way. We ought to pray that way. Old Elijah prayed for his servant. He said, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. I think sometimes that's the way we need to pray for these people in Washington. Lord, would you open their eyes? Would you just open their eyes? They're blinded by sin, blinded by power. Lord, would you just open their eyes? Hey, I'll be honest, I believe prayer alters the circumstances. We're to pray, all right, so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life. Isn't that the kind of life you want to live? No, sir, I like turmoil. Nothing in the world like turmoil. Don't know what's going to happen every day. Not me, I like peace. I like peace. I like that tranquility. I like to get up in the morning and everything's okay, you know. Everything's just still running right along. I like that peace. I like it that way. But not only that, it says it'll alter circumstances. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved? That's something we ought to be praying for. We ought to be praying for the salvation of souls. Praying for men to be saved. Open and pray, and Lord, would you please save their soul? Would you just do that? Had the privilege on Thursday night, myself and Brother Dunbar out visiting, went to home. I've been praying for some folks and asking God to save them, and we went and sat down in their living room and got a chance to talk with them and just went through the plan of salvation and gave them that opportunity, and they said, yeah, I want to do that. They bowed and called on the Lord and asked the Lord to save them. Why? Well, somebody been praying. You know what? I don't think I was the only one praying. I'm not up here saying, look what God did just because I prayed. No, because I don't believe I was the only one praying. But we're to be praying for folks that people get saved. We're to be on our knees. We're to be faithfully. Lord, would you please save? So if you know someone that's lost, then pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that God would save them, all right? We're to be doing that. He says, you say, well, what's that got to do with that? Well, hey, why did God put in here he would have all men to be saved when he's been talking about praying if he didn't mean for us to pray for people to get saved? He prayed. We're to pray for it. Hey, pray anytime the circumstances need to be altered. Pray anytime the circumstances need to be altered. Just pray. Now, don't pray to set aside the Word of God. God's not going to do that. All right? He's not going to do something in opposition to what He said in His Word. But we can pray that circumstances be set aside, be changed. Just pray about it, all right? Elijah got up and he said to Ahab, he said, it's not going to rain till I say it's going to rain. And it didn't. And it got dry. I mean, they were looking everywhere just trying to find grass to feed the livestock. And Elijah said, okay, it's going to rain. And it did. Because Elijah prayed. Elijah prayed. Hey, it's our job to pray. Circumstances need to be altered, then pray God will alter them, all right? But always pray for and in the will of God, in accordance with what the Bible says. Don't go around asking God to do something He said He will not do. Don't ask God to put His okay on sin. He's not going to do that. But He can change the circumstances. We ought to pray. This last thing, could I say this to you? When you pray, pray for specific things. Pray specific prayers. Years ago, I had somebody say, man, have you ever heard of Nostradamus and the predictions he made? And man, his accuracy is unbelievable. I said, who? Nostradamus. No, never heard of him. He's not in the Bible, so and never heard of old Nostradamus. So I thought, well, you know, I get a chance to. I'll read a little bit. So I went and I looked. I mean, you know, yeah, his prophecies came true. It would be like me prophesying it's going to rain somewhere tomorrow. It's going to rain somewhere tomorrow. You can count on it. You can count on it. I'm just telling you, God spoke to me. No. Hey, listen, I'm not talking about, that's not the kind of prayers you ought to pray either. We ought to pray specific. We have specific needs, so pray for specific things. I'm going to tell you something. When I'm dealing with a kidney stone, I'm not praying in general. Lord, could you just oversee my health needs? Nope, that's not the prayer. That's not what I'm praying. I'm dead sure not praying, Lord, could you see to it I don't get gallstones? That's not the prayer. Man, the prayer is, Lord, would you please take this pain away? Help me to pass this kidney stone. This one right here, okay? You know, not something out there in the future, but right here, right now, this. It's okay to pray specifically for specific things. I've told you, my dad one time, I heard him say, man, I pray for a parking lot. Or parking space when I go somewhere. I'd never done that. And I thought, well, if he can, I can. So I do. I prayed for parking spaces. And most of the time, the Lord gives me one right up close. But sometimes He said, hey, fella, you need to exercise. Just get out and walk a while. Hey, but there's nothing wrong praying for specific things. Ask God for what you need, all right? Way too much prayer is general prayer. Lord, would you just bless us? Bless us how? Bless us how? How do you want God to bless you? How do you want God to bless your friend? What is it you want Him to do for them? Lord, to be specific prayers. Not only for others, but ask God for what you need. Ask God for what you need. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't necessarily think you can pray and, Lord, you know what I need. And we got a bill over here. It's $137. And, Lord, I got my hand out right now. And, Lord, if you just put that money there, I'll see to it. It gets there. Now, you may have to pray for a while. You may have to pray for a while. Sometimes I think God makes, He just says, I want to see if you're really serious. I do. I believe God says, I want to see if you're really serious about what you're praying about. And will you keep coming? Pray for what you need. Let me say this. Don't be selfish in your praying. Don't have all your prayers just about you. Don't do all your praying just for you. Just for your needs. Just for your wants. But prayer. Oh, first of all, that prayers, supplications, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men. And all men ought to pray. I just ask you tonight, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? I'm not preaching to you tonight to put any kind of guilt on you. But boy, I do want to preach to you because I want you to see what a blessing we have in the privilege of prayer. And we ought to pray more than we pray. We ought to pray more than we pray. Hey, when you're sitting there at the red light in heavy traffic, maybe you're going up Denton Highway, it's always such an irritation to me to get in the turn lane up here on Denton Highway at Western Center and Watauga Road. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to turn left. And as I'm sitting there and I'm looking, estimating, well, it'll have to change three times before I get through. And I'm sitting there thinking that thought, and all of a sudden I see the lights over there on the train track begin to flash. I say, put another 10 minutes on that wait. Hey, while you're there, just pray. Just pray. Lord, there's got to be somebody that's got a need. Help me to pray. Bring them to mind. Who can I pray for? You wake up in the middle of the night thinking about somebody, pray for them. Pray for them. I don't know how many times my wife has told me, she said, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was thinking about so-and-so, and I prayed for them. That's what we ought to do. God puts somebody on name and on your mind at time. Pray for them. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong. Well, who said it's got to be something wrong? Everything could be right. Pray for them. Pray for them. Hey, it's our privilege. It's our privilege. Go with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, I think. Hebrews chapter 4. Yeah, here it is. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh my, what a privilege. What a privilege God gives us in prayer. What a privilege. He said, you can come into the throne room anytime you'll pray. And we don't do it. We don't do it. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that pitiful? What a privilege we have. How's your prayer life? Heavenly Father, would you just help us tonight? Help us to really examine ourselves and our life and in honesty and look and think about our prayer life. Lord, you've told us we can pray. You've told us we ought to pray. We know we should pray. We talk about prayer. And Lord, when we have emergencies, we pray. Well, Lord, help us to get in that thought that Paul said to Timothy when he said, first of all, I exhort therefore, first of all. Lord, help it to be the first thing we do. Help it to be the thing we do for everyone. Lord, help us all to pray. All of us need to pray more. We come short because we don't pray. Lord, who knows what we lack today because we don't pray. Help us to be honest about ourselves. Lord, if folks need to come, the altar's open. Help them to come tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand tonight as we sing the invitation hymn? If you need to come, would you come tonight?